Hey, Frog fans, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 155 for Thursday, December 10th of 2020. On tonight's podcast, we have TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Dubber, I haven't let off with you in a while, so I thought I'd give you a chance to say hi.
That's great. Hey, guys and young lady, how are y'all doing?
Good.
What? Boy, the sun came up shining Sunday morning, didn't it? Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Man, the happiest I've been all year long.
Great weekend. Great weekend.
It really was. Turned out to be a nice one. We also have on the podcast the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Sean. Glad to be here.
Yeah. It's been an interesting week so far. We also have Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
What is up? It's a good week. We finally won a big game, a game we weren't supposed to win. So, yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, looking forward to getting into the Oklahoma State game. That was something. We'll just leave it at that until we talk about the game. And rounding out tonight's panel, we got Nathan Hernandez. Good evening, Nathan.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
It's going well. And so on that enthusiastic note, let's go ahead and get started with a recap, Ryan, of men and women's basketball.
Oh, my gosh. So if you didn't know this already, basketball season is here, and we have already started Big 12 play. I don't know about y'all, but it is December. I guess we're just a few weeks from Christmas. It just doesn't even seem real to me quite yet. I can feel like I'm about to sneeze. Hold on. Excuse me, I don't have the Rona. Don't worry, just have allergies. But so, WC, have you been to any games this year so far?
I went and watched us get beat by Oklahoma Sunday.
What was that game like?
Well, I mean, we got talent. I mean, we just go in spurts. I mean, you know, we look good for three quarters, but that, and when I say three quarters, I mean for about three quarters of the game, we play really well. And then we kind of self-implode for about a quarter, broke it up throughout the game. And, you know, we had a big lead on Oklahoma three times, and then we just went to tank a couple of times. And
yeah.
The talent's there. They got to learn to win without Baines, and I think they're trying to find their identity right now. You know, but they got some talent on the court. You know, you can see the talent there.
Yeah, I think finding their identity is probably the key statement there, because they really don't have one yet.
I will say, though, Mike Miles, the freshman from Lancaster, has been really good for them. He was voted Texas Player of the Year last year, and he's been a stud. I think he had like 18 points in the OU game. So, you know, there is some young talent on the team for sure.
He was actually a Player of the Week in the Big 12 the first week, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been really good. So, you know, it's nice to see some young talent on the TCU team.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So this might just be a case of, you know, just getting the cobwebs off COVID. We can at least use that as an excuse for the next 12 months. I'm sure we can use that.
Sure.
And then, but hopefully, like with basketball, it's such a long season. You know, you can't win them all, obviously. It's not like football, and you have to peak at the right time. So hopefully that is the case here. We're 0-1 in the Big 12. So, and our one loss is against, you know, OU. No, not a terrible deal there yet. Season's not over or anything
and
like
it's,
that.
It's tough, like, so early in the year. You know, usually you've got so many warm-up games, and they had to play their fourth game against, you know, OU.
Yeah.
It's just a different season. You know, COVID is making an impact a little bit.
That's a really good point, though, Hunter. I mean, that's kind of what happened to us with football, too. We would have won against Iowa State had we had a warm-up game, which we didn't. So so TCU is 4-2 overall, and all their games have been at home, and they've split that 2-2. So right now, I guess the big winner of the conference, if you can even say that, just because the season just got underway, is Oklahoma. With 1-0 in the conference and 2-0 overall, they've only played two games. So Kansas and Texas Tech have played the most games. They're both 5-1. Oklahoma State 5-0.
Our basketball conference is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Baylor's ranked number two. Texas is in the top 10, I think. West Virginia's up there. Tech's up there.
I mean, it's like what people think the SEC is in
football. They don't know where they're at.
Exactly.
Yeah. Weird. Tech had a guy transfer in there that was like picked to be a first-round draft pick this year, and he went back to school and transferred to Tech from Georgetown. He was at Georgetown and transferred to Tech as a basketball guy, which, you know, you wouldn't think you'd transfer from Georgetown to Tech.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I mean, they're, you know, this is a premier basketball conference now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Really is.
It's crazy.
You know, and you know, baseball season's about to get underway here in a couple months, too. And you can, same can be said for baseball as well. We're pretty stacked in the Big 12 when it comes to most of sports, which we're pretty lucky that way. So, WC, what are the games like? I mean, what's the atmosphere? How many people are they letting in? Was it?
I mean, it's only 25% capacity, so it's kind of weird, you know. I mean, there's a lot of empty spaces, and they try to keep it, you know, they try to keep the noise up and stuff like that, but it is definitely a different environment. I mean, no doubt there.
I watched some of that game on TV, and it was like you couldn't – no one sitting behind the benches, so it was really weird there, you know, because that's what you see on the camera, and so it looks like no one's there at all.
Yeah, behind the benches. On the other side, there's quite a bit, that lower bowl, but I don't know if they just decided to keep people away from the players totally, or they've just kind of taken everybody out of that lower bowl on that side. But you're right, Hunter. I mean, that lower bowl on that other side just – pretty much empty.
Yeah, it looks like no one's there at all on the broadcast. So, a little weird.
Yeah, that is a little weird. But, you know, TC does such a good job with all their the music. And it's such a great place to watch basketball in there because it's so – you're just right there on the court with everybody. So, hopefully, the guys are still getting somewhat of a game day experience, even though it's not a full Coliseum. All right, so moving on to women's basketball, kind of the same deal with them. Although they just have one loss, but they are 0-1 in the conference, 3-1 overall. Looks like Iowa State is the big winner right now. That's who we lost to, so they are 1-0 in the conference, but 2-3 overall. So it's still going to be a crazy season there as well. Oklahoma is 0-2 overall. Looks like the team to beat right now, just overall, not necessarily in the conference, would be West Virginia. They're 4-0. And then Texas is 4-1. KU is actually 3-1. So back to being a Big 12 conference. They don't do much in football, clearly, but totally a different story when it comes to basketball. So we'll keep an eye on basketball as they start playing more Big 12 games and watch how their season goes. Don't be afraid to go to the games. Go ahead and you can get your tickets there on the game day, I believe. I'm sure the ticket office is open. You know, I haven't even really – it has to be, yeah. And unlike football, basketball is still affordable. So it'd be a good night to get out and take your family for a fun family night, that some good food and a good atmosphere. So consider that. Parking's pretty easy there. You just park in the parking garage, and it's free.
Yep.
So – pretty easy night. It's not like football. It's a you can just show up and go. So encourage everybody to do that. Women's tickets are, I think they're less than $10. Men's tickets, depending where you sit, probably I've lost track because I always usually have season tickets, but I don't, maybe $12, $15, $17 at the most probably. So check it out when you can. That's all I got, Sean.
All right. Well, thanks for the recap, Ryan. And moving on, Hunter's got some recruiting news in Hunter's Recruiting Corner.
Yes, I do. So I'm going to try to get through this fast. But, you know, we've kind of forgotten about recruiting this year just because it's a very small class for TCU. We only have 8 people who are going to sign on early signing day. And that's just due to a small signing class's senior class this year. We're not losing many players, but, you know, as far as rankings and stuff go, we're the 99th ranked in the country, 10th in the Big 12, but don't be too alarmed by that. You know, that's just due to the small number of recruits we've had. You know, in 2019, the class with, you know, Max, Jaquais Sorrells, some of those other big 4 stars, we signed 27 and we were ranked 31st in the country, and we had a lower per signee rank for those guys. So really just a low rank class because of, you know, not having very many signees. But now I'm just going to kind of go over every guy in the class, just a little bit, give you a little bit of info on him, and maybe a fun fact or two. So first off, you've got Noah Boltikoff. He's a three-star O-lineman from Rose Hill, Kansas. Kind of a, you know, TCU tie-in there. Blaze Foltz, TCU guy who played for a long time, is his high school coach, so there's a good TCU connection there. Chris Murray, a three-star defensive end. He's from Wichita Falls, Hershey. He's had double-digit sacks the last 2 years. He's had 15 offers as well. Chase Jackson, three-star wide receiver from Choctaw, Oklahoma. He had 56 catches and 1,300 yards, 15 TDs as a junior. He got offered by UT right before his senior year and then got hurt early on. He would have really taken off, probably been the highest-ranked kid in our class, but he got hurt. So, you know, good thing TCU got him early. Landon Watson, who's probably our most college-ready player. He's a 6'3", 235 DN from Hutto, Texas, the Hippos. He's an ex-LSU commit and had 30 offers. We just, our newest recruit is TJ Steele. He's a former UNT commit and latest commit. He was the district MVP in Lubbock, and he's a wide receiver from Lubbock Escotado. You've got Alexander Honig, the three-star quarterback from Germany. We've all kind of heard about him. He's a project guy, could play tight end later, but he did win the Rivals MVP, camp MVP, before COVID broke out this year. And he's a super good athlete. He's 6'6", almost 230 pounds, and he runs a 4.7. So hopefully he can play some quarterback for us. And then another quarterback in the class is a three-star quarterback, you know, kind of an athlete as well. He's from Daphne, Alabama. His dad was a professional baseball player, Alan Battle. That's Trent Battle, and he's kind of another guy. A lot of people say he would be offered at wide receiver, DB, if he played those, but he wants to play quarterback, and TCU is going to give him that opportunity to do that. And then last but not least, we've got Jasper Lott. He's a three-star tight end, could come and play offensive tackle for us. He's kind of a project, but he's 6'5", 245. He's from Argyle, so right, you know, right around the corner. And his dad is the strength coach for the Chargers. So, you know, another NFL tie-in there. So that is this recruiting class. And, yeah, that's all I got on him.
Hey, Hunter, I got something. This is so random. So, you know, we always have a score prediction every week. So last week there was a tie. So actually there wasn't a tie, but I gave out two winners because it was just that good of a week with guesses. But and his name is Hutto Frog. I've never even heard of Hutto, Texas until this Killer Frog said that. And then you just said that one player's from there. Yeah. What's that player's name again?
Landon Watson. And he's our highest ranked recruit this year. He's going to be a really good one. He's a really good defensive end. Had a lot of offers. Used to be committed to LSU. And then decommitted and committed to TCU. So,
oh, hippo.
Yeah, and they've got the funnest mascot, the hippos.
Well, at least he chose the right color purple.
It's on the other side of Houston.
I was thinking it had to be around Houston. I can't believe I've never heard of it. And the hippopotamus, that is so cool. Yep. I always thought like Springtown porcupines and the Weatherford kangaroos were always kind of cool too. But
well, you know, you see definitely a lot of kangaroos and hippos in Texas.
Yeah, right. But well, very good, Hunter. Thanks for doing all that research. That's so fun to be able to hear about all of our upcoming future frogs. But
no problem. Yeah, well, we haven't really talked about them because there's not been much change this year. But signing day kind of snuck up on us. So it's next week, and all of those guys will be signing next Wednesday. So before the next podcast.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really sounds like a quality over quantity style class. And like you said, because of COVID and restrictions, we're going to have a lot of people coming back. So not expecting big classes across the country. So I don't know how that affects high school seniors. I mean, that's one area. It's kind of a trickle down situation, but
yeah.
But speaking of, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Last thing I was going to say is just TCU's had quite a few transfers lately, you know. There's been quite a few wide receiver running backs, or not running backs, linemen. There's been some guys who have gone into the transfer portal. So that will open up more scholarships, but I would guess that TCU is going to use that on a lot of transfers to plug in some holes on the offensive line and probably the defensive line as well. So along those front two lines, we're just so young. So that is something that might happen. And there could be a few more signees that you see before next week, but that's the class now, and we could have a bigger class. Just at the moment, this is what we've got.
Yeah, sounds great.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Well, speaking of quality over quantity, what do you all think about this ruling? Ohio State doesn't have to play six games to get into the conference championship?
Not shocked.
Are we surprised?
No.
There's no surprise.
I've lost all faith. Got us ready for this. Okay.
I've lost all faith in that committee and their purpose for finding the best teams.
Right.
Yeah.
I think 2014 taught us all that.
Yeah.
2014 and then 2015 and 16 just reassured it.
Yeah, most definitely.
100%.
Yeah. So
Sean, it's kind of funny. So for those of you who don't know, I married into an Ohio State family. So
I hadn't heard.
But it's funny. Yeah, you hadn't heard that at all. And that's why I wear my Alabama sweatshirt a lot. No, just kidding. But I actually do. But anyway, they were playing. They're supposed to play Michigan, which is funny because my brother-in-law is a Michigan State fan, bless his heart. And so, you know, he lives his wife's Ohio State. And I mean, when you're living with Ohio State, you know, they win every year. And then you're Michigan State and you get beat every year. And I don't know, it's got to be rough on their marriage, but they seem to get through it just fine. But I guess, did y'all hear about how Kirk Herbstreit said something like, this is before Michigan. His parents are Michigan State and then Pat's Michigan. But anyway, his Kirk Herbstreit said something to the effect of, well, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan cancels because they don't want to lose. And they know that Ohio State needs one more win to get into the, you know, to get in the championship. And then fast forward a few days, oh, Michigan canceled because of COVID. And then I think Kirk got in trouble, you know, Twitter world trouble for predicting that. But it was kind of funny.
How would he get in trouble for predicting that? I know.
You get in trouble for whatever you say on Twitter.
You can't say anything at this point.
But yeah, they think that Kirk Herbstreit has the magic wand that can just suddenly just be like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Because I said
a really big fanboy.
People automatically think, like, he's OSU or he's Ohio State. You know, he sways that.
He had to move out of Ohio because of something he said, like, that wasn't for Ohio State, and they just all came crashing down on him. So he's like, I think it's probably best that I don't live here anymore. So, you know, he tries to be not such a big fan. But anyway, but Ohio State, all that being said, they're pretty darn good this year from what we can tell. And the rest of the conference is pretty bad, you know. So I guess I can see why their conference would want them playing in the championship.
I don't know. They don't have much of a resume, so I can't really say that they're good versus the
That's what I told Monica. I was like, something about not ever having to play means you don't ever get injured. So,
that's,
I mean,
right.
You'll have to be pretty good. So.
Well, at least they're, like, smart with it. You know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 kind of shot themselves in the foot starting so late and then making all these rules that they had to impose. You know, they made these rules, and then they're like, 30 minutes later, they're like, oh, these rules kind of don't benefit me, but at least, like, Big Ten was like, hey, we'll let them play, whereas, you know, the Pac-12 is not even letting USC play their game, and, you know, so that's their best chance at the playoff. That's the whole point of being, you know, that's the whole point of, like, being a commissioner for that conference is to try to make the big game. So it's kind of, at least the Big Ten's, you know, letting their best chance get it, giving him a chance to do it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well,
and like you said, what Nathan said earlier, as long as A&M doesn't make it, then...
Oh,
same.
Ugh, can you imagine?
Well, no.
Sorry.
Don't let it happen.
No.
I'll do anything.
I'm depressed now just thinking about it.
Hello.
I know.
Oh, let's move on to something a little bit happier.
Yeah.
So last Saturday we had a win.
Against Winston team.
Man. You know, we all predicted a win on here, so of course we were all right. And I'm sure Twitter hates us for being right, but I have to give props to WC before we start this, because you darn near nailed the score and the rushing yard prediction, which was kind of our tiebreaker. So congratulations.
For the record, he wouldn't have had that score if his son hadn't taken his rushing score.
That's true. I was
assist on
2 points off on both, and I was 8 yards away. I know exactly where I was at. Okay. I put 228, it was 236, and it was 22-29. I put 22-27. So I was not far.
Close, just not close enough.
Hey, you weren't quite as close as me.
I mean, I'm going to say you like piggyback straight up to Metro.
Hey, the opportunity to choose first.
Just stepped that. Right on my shoulders as you're getting to the top podium.
Hey, that's what dads do.
The younger generation can't accept defeat like that. They just can't accept it.
I mean, yeah.
I've done that twice now, been within, like, right in the race this year.
You have. It's been very impressive. Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. This one was probably the most impressive one, though, because this was a game that I don't know how do you classify this game, because it was one of those. It's I guess maybe this was like the perfect encapsulation of what a game should be in the year 2020, because you had two teams, one of which everybody was basically saying is not going to win against Oklahoma State. They come in here and everything goes wheels off for an entire half, including that craziness that happened at the end of the first half. You end up with a team with, what was it, 5-1 on the turnover situation, and you still end up losing to that team. This was a crazy, crazy game, and I don't know how Oklahoma State, how they must have felt on the drive back to Oklahoma, thinking, how the heck did this just happen? Yeah. It was both impressive and mind-boggling at the same time.
You know what's weird about that too, Sean, is, like you said, we had so many turnovers, but the whole game, I just still knew we were going to win. You just felt it the whole time, and we kind of went through that lull a little bit, but then it was like, I still really never thought we were going to lose, even though we should have completely lost that game just based on the turnovers alone.
For sure.
The first half, I had my doubts. I mean, I was afraid we couldn't score.
We couldn't get over the 50-yard line.
We're having a hard time getting the ball across the 50, and I had my doubts there for a little bit, but
Weird though, because like our defense, like you thought the score should have been like 30-0, and you're just feeling like, man, this is a crappy game. And you look up the scoreboard and you're like, hey, didn't they miss a field goal? It was like 13-0. You're like, wait a minute, we're still in it. And it just felt, and then of course we came back and beat them. But yeah, it was weird all around, but definitely fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the defense played lights out second half.
Oh, so, man. Yeah, I've got a stat on the defense. It was a pretty amazing performance, really. Like 5-1 turnovers, you're not going to win that game. I mean, I don't know what the stats are, but it's got to be very little amount of teams that win 5-1 turnovers and win the game.
Oh, yeah,
you're not going to win that game.
I believe that Mark Cohen posted something about this. It was like teams that have a 5-1 turnover margin, like, it was like 18 wins to like 500 losses. It was like ridiculous number. Yeah. And it was like, okay, well, now there's an 19. Anomaly.
Yeah, this game is almost an anomaly.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, the defense showed out every time after the turnovers. So first turnover was a fumble recovery for a TD. Defense never got back on the field.
Nope.
But the next four turnovers, which, you know, geez, that's a lot. You're hoping you never have to say. After the next four turnovers, the defense played well, but they played lights out. The first turnover, 3 yards the next drive. The next turnover, 5 yards that drive. The next turnover, -2. And then the final drive, 3. So on 5 of those turnovers, the first one, the defense never got on the field. The next 4, they got 9 yards total. So yeah, the defense played lights out on those every time they gave her the offense gave the ball up. I mean, that's not going to happen every week, but that was the defense we thought we were going to see at the start of the season.
Well, and when you book in that with the turnover that they created down there in the red zone where Trey got that interception in the back of the end zone to end that drive, that was huge.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well,
I tell you what my idea is. I was, you know, I'm sitting over kind of behind the defensive bench this year. And just to watch them be so fired up, it's most fired up I've seen them all year long.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
they were fired up. And I mean, they were fired up the whole game, really. But I mean, I hadn't seen that like that in a long time, like over there. And I mean, they were really excited, motivated. You know, every time a turnover or something bad happened, I mean, they jumped up. They're ready. They were, you know, really talking it up. They didn't have their heads down. They didn't say, oh, crap, here it goes again. You know, I mean, they're ready to get back out on the field and show what they can do, you know.
Yeah, they played lights out.
Did you guys see that video of Wallow?
Oh yes, like, the one where he's saying, "Come on!"
Yeah, he's like taunting the quarterback. He's like, "Come on, come on! I know what's coming. Come on!" And he's just got this huge smile on his face. I mean, yeah. You know, when the defense is having fun out there, it's always a great game to watch from a TCU point of view. But the offensive woes was just one of those things. But you were right, Ryan. Every single time we turned over the ball, it was like, "Oh my gosh." It's like we had a drive going and we turned it over again and then we turned it over again. And I think the funniest thing I read was somebody was posting on the board that they had given out game balls to the defense, and somebody had posted, yeah, they gave out all the defensive game balls, but Oklahoma State just stripped it again. It was just like, yeah, well, kind of how it felt.
I will say, I think we jinxed the running backs. You know, we talked so well about all the running backs. They all took their shot almost, it seemed like, of somebody putting the ball on the ground.
To be fair, they didn't hold them up for a while. Yeah. Huh? Some of those strips, they were held up for a while.
Oh, I know. It was
agreed.
Before they wanted to blow the whistle dead. Like, they were not moving.
No, they, I agreed with that.
Yeah, at least two for sure.
The third one, I know for a fact, he was like, he just came out. And I think there was the one he like straight up just took it out of Max's hands.
Hey, you gotta respect Oklahoma State. That dude was that one guy. He's the one that got about three of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sheesh, that's smart. I mean, you know, good job by him.
Hey, yeah, for sure.
You know, hey, in our offense, I mean, for all the points we gave, I mean, those times we gave them the ball, we actually scored some dang points. I mean,
we
you
had 500 yards of offense this game.
The second half, Max looked awesome.
Before the game started, you know, to lose those two linemen, you know.
They moved Steve Avila from center to right tackle.
Third, you see a whole other offensive line again, and you see some guys that I haven't really seen out there, and I'm like, well, I don't know. But you know what? The offensive line the last two or three games have played better, a lot better. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
They've gotten after it.
Well, they certainly gave Max enough time this game. Yeah. I'm impressed. They started attacking downfield, and you know, with Quentin Johnston, I mean, it was fantastic. I think we finally have seen the guy that we were all hoping he would be at the very beginning of the season. We saw a little bit of flashes in the beginning, but they never really utilized him like you would expect. You know, kind of like like a Josh Doxton type. You know, where you just throw it in his general vicinity and you know he's going to fight for it and he's going to come down with the ball. And that's the kind of receiver that makes a quarterback look a whole lot better and can really shore up some issues with the line. And I think we finally saw that this weekend.
Well, see, that's where you're right, Sean. I mean, that's my deal there is anytime I'm Max and I don't have somebody open, if Johnson doesn't field, I'm throwing it to him.
Yeah, he's one-on-one for sure.
Yeah,
throw it up.
Boykins let Dotson go ahead and get it. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm doing every time. If I get back there and nobody's open, I'm throwing it to him. I'm throwing him a little lob. I mean, I'm getting some air under it, and I'm going to tell him, you go up and get the ball. If you, I feel comfortable with that. I got a 50% chance. It's better than 50% chance if I throw the ball up to him, I guarantee it.
Yeah. His 50-50 balls are more like 70-30 balls, it seemed like. He comes down with it most of the time. I mean, we've seen it time and time again this year. He did it against Texas. He's done it against some really good teams. He pulls the ball down. You know, they throw it up, and he can get up there with the best of them. He's 6'4", and, you know, there's a reason that he was, you know, ranked so high. He's a real go-getter. Like, the dude can do a lot of things that most guys just are not. He's just better than most guys. I mean, he just is. He's a true freshman. He's better.
Well, the other thing he does, even if he doesn't catch it, he's great about not letting the other team catch it. I mean, he knows how to play defense on offense sometimes when you have to do that to be a good receiver. But anytime, I'm just telling you right now, anytime if I max, if I look up, nobody's open, I'm throwing it to him.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't run, I'm just throwing it up to him. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, that's what we've been needing for the last couple of years, and we haven't had that. Mm-hmm. Either it just hasn't been coached mm-hmm. that way, or no one has had the confidence to a specific receiver, because we've had big receivers, but we've never had a receiver that we've seen, at least in the last couple of years, that will go up and fight for the ball like that. And you're right, Dubber. I mean, he has the awareness also to realize is like, if I'm not gonna get this ball, nobody's gonna get this ball. And mm-hmm. and that's the kind of thing that you want to see. It's kind of some of the things I'd like to see out of Pro Wells a little bit from Saturday that we didn't quite get. I mean, Pro Wells is another one of those guys that if he can kind of get that fight in him a little bit more, I think that would be nice. Now he was mugged on that first throw that should have been a pass interference, you know, all day long. But
yeah,
I still wish there were a couple balls that were thrown to him that was just kind of like lackadaisical kind of route running and just didn't really want to fight for the ball. And I was just really disappointed to see that. But Johnston made up for it in spades. And Davis was terrific.
Davis. Oh my God. Davis has turned into Turpin. I mean, yeah. It's the same type. We're running the Turpin offense with Davis, and it's kind of nice because he's had a little bit of a rough go at receiver, at least. You know, he's been really good punt returning, but he had that touchdown that he dropped a few weeks ago, and, you know, he's had some drops, this and that, but he's probably the guy who's grown the most in this on this team, you know, since last year, from last year to this year. The guy's started to make some big plays. You know, it's been a really nice surprise.
We got four really good wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, agreed.
Barber and then the other freshman.
Conright,
yeah. Those four guys, I mean, they're all capable. They're all good. I
feel Davis wasn't even playing until Spielman got hurt, so that's what's so awesome with him. You know, he was the backup, and now he's become, you know, kind of our leading receiver the last couple of weeks.
Well, he certainly is the type of guy that you point to when you say, you know, when you get your chance, you make the most of it, and he has certainly mm-hmm. done that.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. So it was an interesting game. It had some really oddball calls, though. I mean, what do you guys make of the
so many the reviews
weird things at the end? Well, the reviews. Like, wait, first off, I have to point this out about reviews. When we were talking about the strips, I knew Nathan was going to chime in on the refs not blowing the whistle. But let me say one thing about the reviews. So
I'll
Saturday
on the refs.
Oh, well, and they deserved it on Saturday. So Saturday was our good friend Wes's birthday, and who we lost last year, and the one thing he absolutely could not stand was the reviews. Right, is like every single time I went to the reviews, and in that game, I swear I heard him screaming in the back of my head every single time they went to the review. It was terrible how many reviews we had in that game. Absolutely terrible. I think
we had like 12. That was insane.
I mean, now we're sitting up there, and I look at it on the big screen, and automatically you could see it one way or another.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, so
they were reviewing everything.
Walking over there, I look at it and say, "Oh, that's the call," and turn right back around. Take about 3 seconds. Go, oh no, that's a, or that's this, or that. Oh no, it's got to be a minute or two.
At least the most
simple calls in the world. I mean, you sit there and you're like, why are we even looking at this? Hey, even when they did a couple of ones, you know, for Oklahoma State, they won. I'm like, dude, I mean, I'm a Horned Frog. I wish they'd turn it around. They ain't turning that call over, though. I don't even know why we're looking at it for sure.
And I knew they
were all day.
I knew they weren't that close because I was watching from home and Dad was, you know, at the game. And so this year, there's been a few times where he's called me and been like, more than a few. There's been, you know, 5 to 6 times probably where he's called me and been like, hey, is that a catch or is that not a catch? Or is that a touchdown or is that not? And this time I knew – like every one of those reviews, as he said, was like a no-brainer immediately. It was kind of ridiculous. Like by the end of the game, they're calling, you know, I think there were 3 in the last 8 minutes, and it just totally killed the whole speed of the game, everything. But, you know, luckily we came out with the win, but that's again, why they did it. It was so slow. So slow.
Sean knows, being with me in the booth, I cannot stand refs. Like,
They are, especially Big 12, or maybe it's just like a DFW thing because they're bad against the Cowboys, dude. They are so bad.
Let's not talk about the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pause it. Happy thoughts.
We are talking about the Cowboys.
It's
only one Cowboy team we're talking about.
When our O-lineman, okay, granted, he pushed him a little bit after the whistle. Mm. He gets flipped onto his back and slammed down. How, as a ref, do you – okay, the guy on bottom, penalty. How? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, at least try to make it look like you're going to call the fair game. It wasn't even the one, like the two dudes standing next, the two refs standing next to it weren't even the ones that made the call. It was the one on the back side of the goalpost that wasn't even like in the vicinity of it that called it. And even then, you can see our guy is clearly on his back. Like, he just got slammed down. Like, I was, oh my God, that was the one that set me off. But the pro one was bad. The pro one was bad. The ones with the
holding pass interference people. In the end zone.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. Like they missed so many pass interference calls.
Who was that? That was on Caesar, wasn't it?
Pass interference. Gosh, that was stupid. If you're gonna call that, call one on pro. Like,
oh yeah,
because he at least got tackled.
Yeah,
the dude had him wrapped up. Like,
it was bad.
Sean knows I cannot stand refs.
Well, he may have made a comment or two.
You know, but if you just listen, I know you got a little. I like you got you had you definitely have the conspiracy theorists.
I did.
I'm not disagreeing that the referee is bad. I just don't know if I have as much of the conspiracy. But you know what?
It comes somewhere.
Nathan's got conviction.
My face, Nathan.
What you can't see is behind Nathan, he's got this board, the cork board, where he's got these little red lines. He's
and I'm drawn just like to pointing at it.
Different refs, and there's like a big Illuminati sticker right in the middle. I don't know what all that means, but
it looks like
Gene Steratore is right at the center of it.
Yeah,
it looks like Always Sunny when he's Pepe Sylvia.
Yeah, you know? He's like Charlie Day. He's like going nuts.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's something there, but I just don't know what it is.
So I got a quick question. So at the end of the first half, did Kel get Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week for that squib kick? I didn't check.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know who that is.
We're not giving that out. The Big 12 does not give out Special Team Player of the Week for a squib kick.
Oh, okay. I was just checking. I didn't know if we were still handing those out like candy.
I've already given up on that. Hey, I can't. Oh,
we do not have to get into this. We do not.
Hey, going back to my conspiracy, we got to have like a miracle pull for us to get any awards thrown our way. It's either always going to go to like Iowa State, not because they're a bigger school, but just because they're doing really well right now. It's going to go to Iowa State. West Virginia is going to get some defensive player or Oklahoma, and then Texas is always going to get the freaking offensive player because they're freaking Texas.
Yeah.
or some Texas.
That week, that's what it all boiled down to. And don't get me wrong, she's from Miley, so, you know.
Let's hold off on the hot sports takes with the, you know, we already talked about Twitter not liking us one way or another. This is one of those.
But seriously, can I say something just as a woman?
It was bad.
It was bad. And here's the deal. It's like when you finally do get a girl player who can kick it like a male, they're not going to be the first one that does it because we already let somebody in.
We're in the cat bag.
I don't even hate that she picked it. It's just that
she was supposed to do.
Yeah, no, like, she picked a squib. She kicked a squib. Yeah. It was good. Like I heard the story on ESPN after and I was like, all right, you know, I feel more sympathetic towards it now, but at the time I was like, great job kicking, but I don't know that you should have been Special Teams Player of the Week. And by I don't know, I know that you should not have been Special Teams Player of the Week.
Hey, but didn't she like go in and give like them that locker room talk and like,
yeah.
Real, like,
really?
Forceful.
Oh no!
You didn't hear about that?
35 to nothing. So
yeah. No, she got up and, you know, oh captain, my captain, in the locker room.
Yeah.
I gotta go. I gotta
Dead Poet Society. There, that was a reference there. If you,
I got a random rabbit trail. If there's a thumbnail for this
tributaries, baby.
It shouldn't. It should be the cat, like just like a crop picture of Ryan's cat.
Yeah.
She'll be back.
She wants in on the podcast. She wants to talk about this. No, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to open up a can of worms with that. I was just.
I do have.
Go ahead, Nathan.
A few things about the game. Not the most positive. I don't know how to feel about it. About this one, I was very happy we won.
I think Nathan woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
No. I was thinking about this today.
This is a good week.
It's a great week. Oh, okay. Well, one, the Cowboys upset me last night. So, yes.
Yeah. We don't care about that on this podcast.
Minor speed.
I am very happy we won. I'm kind of worried because I think it is one of those wins that doesn't force us to make changes that might need to be made. And I'm not saying – I don't know. I'm not saying who needs to go or what needs to be made. But if we were to lose that game – obviously, we would have been what 500 on the year. And granted, I know we talked about it at the beginning of the season, like this is like one of those years that no matter how bad things are, we're not going to make that many changes. I think if we lost that game, Coach P's kind of thinking that some changes need to be made at some point. Like if the offense had done bad, something about the offense needed to be bad. The defense didn't do well. I think it was one of those games that. It gave us a false sense of security now, and we aren't going to make certain changes that might need to be made.
You're upset because you want changes to be made, and you're worried that that win will prevent changes from being made.
That's right.
Okay, yes. I'm not going to say what changes need to be made because that's a whole other podcast.
At first, I didn't understand where Nathan was going, but now I understand where you're going.
Yep.
I didn't mean to string you along, so I paused in there to make a dramatic effect.
I want to give a major counterpoint to Nathan because I am happy with this now. At 5-4 and with a good chance to be 6-4 after next week, we should beat La Tech. So if we're 6-4, go to a bowl game, win that bowl game, 7-4. If we play a real schedule, so we're playing probably Sam Houston and a SWAC team, we're 9-4 there. I'm happy with 9-4.
With two one-score games that
with
we lost.
Two one-score games, and we didn't actually have camp. Max didn't go through anything for all of fall camp, and we had no spring ball. So that's a huge, huge disservice to this team, especially the defense, who has now come on at the very end of the year. The defense is hard to learn at TCU. There's a lot of guys that have a hard time with it. It's like that's why our guys do well in the NFL. They go there, they're prepared because the TCU defense is hard to learn. So I feel like with all of those things in a normal year, this is a 9-4 year at worst. And if we're 9-4 or worse, I'm feeling pretty good about this year.
I know, but I still understand where Nate's going.
I understand where he's coming from.
I can't say that I totally disagree with that statement. I mean,
I do agree. If we had the two non-con, I say we beat SMU and we beat some other Division III school. I don't know, but
I don't think we would have beat SMU.
I don't know. We can get into that.
See, but no camp.
But
no camp. But
we do have the wins, and I give them that. We would only have four losses. I'm just still not satisfied with it. I want a 12-1.
I'm not happy with it. You know, I don't know that it's fireable.
Yeah.
If they were to go 9-4, man, and especially 6-4 or 7-4 with a bowl game, even 6-5. With a bowl game during this year, I don't know that they're going to fire anyone this year.
Yeah, it's just that we came off such a bad year, and then we came off another bad year. It's like,
really bad at the first of
it
the
did.
Year.
It started off horrible at the start of the year.
We had one bad game, and then we had a great game offensively, and then all of a sudden we went back in the tank. Inside the ball, and all of a sudden it's like, what is going on?
It's been a roller coaster for sure.
Yeah.
And I had one more controversial point.
We've been rolling with
it. I'm gonna get castrated for this one.
Whoa.
Oh,
that's three.
Just wait till I say my point.
BDMA podcast over here.
I think he's a great competitor. I think he's a great runner. I don't think Matt's a great passer.
Oh, yeah.
I he's just not doing it for me. And
he's not been so far.
If he doesn't get better, I don't think I can see him staying at starting quarterback. If he doesn't get better at passing, because he made some good throws this game, he makes a lot of bad throws. We didn't have camp. He was out because he was sick and had surgery and whatnot. I just like he made great improvement from last year. I'll give him that. He last year was not great, and he was making throws this year that he didn't make last year. I need to see more, and if I don't see more, then I'm saying that we need a better passer and a quarterback, because I just feel like I watch all these other college games and their quarterbacks are just like, it's just checkdowns or whatever, like the whole way down the field, they're just picking defenses apart. They're not missing open receivers. It just seems easy to them. And I think that's just like a TCU way. We just always make everything more difficult than it needs to be. He made some good throws this game, but there were still some throws this game where I was just like, dude.
He's always a little off, and he has been all year. And it's a good point, Nate, because I always thought when we played KU and we totally kicked their butts, but then when they finally put in that their final quarterback towards the end of the game, he was good. I mean, he was making some the long passes, and they were catching them, and we've got a good defense. You know, like he was completing a lot of passes, and I was like, holy cow, that's fun to watch, you know, and I just don't remember us doing much of that this year either.
Well, so my roommate, Ryan's
brother,
last name, thinks that he would be a better running back. I could see it more of like a Taysom Hill kind of situation where he comes in special packages or whatnot. But if he doesn't get better at passing, that's what I see his role becoming more of. But
I tend to agree there to a point, because I do believe he's got to get better at that. I think that given you got to give him another year to, like I said, he misses.
He's a sophomore.
But I will say this, it's like anything, I think it's gotten his head. I thought he started out throwing the ball better in the first year than he has late, but at least of late, he's hit some big passes. Down the field, big passes. If he can do that some, I think he'll slowly build his confidence back up. But I definitely agree with you. I think he's lost his confidence, and his accuracy went with it. I mean,
I feel like he switched halfway through the year. Like, at the beginning of the year, he was making the good, like, easy, like, shorter passes, but he wasn't trusting his receivers. He wasn't trusting Johnson down the field. And I feel like that came to bite us in the Iowa State game where he had one-on-one, and at the end of the game, Johnson was at least three plays in a row was one-on-one in the end zone. He's like, dude, just throw it up to him. But now he's gone. He's trusting his receivers down the field, but he's not making the other throws.
Well, I heard the rumor is that he's battling a wrist injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we're not going to get 100% story on that, but if that's the case, because you're right. I mean, the beginning of the season, we were all kind of like, whoa, okay, Max seems to have found a little bit of accuracy that he did not have last season. And then all of a sudden, just somehow three or four games in, it's like, what happened? It's like something completely changed all of a sudden with the passing game. And he's now finally getting back to the point where, he missed Davis on that route in the end zone. He overthrew him. He was wide open there. And he missed a couple of reads in the middle of the field, which wasn't an arm thing. It was just missed in that passing game. He just really missed a couple of wide open receivers that he could have thrown to, and he didn't do it. But I don't know what the answer is to that. But I do know that we're better with Max at quarterback right now than
And I'll say this. Counterpoint.
There's no discounting him running. I mean, my gosh. I mean, we don't win. We don't win at least two football games this year without his legs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, because he's a lot faster than what everybody thinks. You know, I think he surprises people all of a sudden when he comes off and you think, oh, we're going to catch him.
He gets on you.
He runs away from him. But so, you're right. You'd rather see an all-around Max, and I think We're seeing his legs now a lot more because whatever happened between confidence, being beat up or whatever the first year, but at least we have started seeing some throws again that he is making.
Yeah. So I've got a counterpoint to this pretty strongly because I'm very team Max. I'm very, very team Max. Okay. And so I get that he has not progressed in the way that we wish he had up to this point, but let's all also remember Andy Dalton also played a lot as a freshman and a sophomore. And Max and him are pretty much neck and neck on stats as a sophomore, like almost identical. Max has 59% passing completion. So did Andy in his sophomore year. 7.3 yards per attempt for Andy, 7.2 for Max. 9-4 for Max, TDs and interception, 11-5. 130 QB rating for Max, a 129 for Andy. So Andy Dalton ended up being our best quarterback ever at this school.
Are we going to dispute that?
If we're going to go with pro and college stats, if we're going just college, Boykin.
Boykin.
But pro and college, Max is very much on pace with every other, I mean, with the best quarterback that you could say the best quarterback that TCU has ever had, arguably.
Not ever that you know.
Okay, arguably in the last 40
modern
years.
Day quarterback.
Right. Sammy Hall and Davey O'Brien, but they were also like, 5'11", 165 at that point. It's a different time.
Can I throw my hat in the ring for Casey Printers?
You can, definitely. Okay, yeah, Casey Printers. I mean, he left for Florida A&M, so whatever. But yeah, so Max. So what I'm just saying is Max. Yes, he's not been what we'd hope he'd been, but he had no spring ball. He had no camp because he had a heart surgery, and then has come back and still had pretty comparable numbers to Andy Dalton as the sophomore in the TCU offense. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that he's definitely getting better. He definitely needs to be better. But as a junior, I think he's going to be, a top-notch guy, like a top 10 player in the country if he keeps progressing. Yes, it's not always pretty, but with his running ability, he doesn't have to be perfect in passing, especially in college. We've all seen it. Lamar Jackson, I mean, that dude – he could do whatever he wanted in college. It does in college. You can be a good runner and just an okay passer. So Max has got a chance to be really, really good still.
Right. Let it rotate.
But if he doesn't,
okay, yeah.
All the way back around this, Sean. Let's go.
But if he doesn't get better, that's what.
I am on agreement.
He has been comparable to Andy, and that's why I'm not like saying like, oh, he doesn't need to start right now. Like I agree, he's 100%. Our best option right now, and I love the way he competes because it bleeds out into the rest of the offense, or it's supposed to, and it just gets people fired up, and I think that's honestly carried over to our defense. I think that's why our defense has stepped up the last few games, because they see as much as we might struggle to turn the ball over, whatever, we're still competing. We're still Max is still making those extra runs and taking hits and getting beat up like he was. And I agree that that is the most beneficial thing for our team right now. If he doesn't get better as a passer, though, it comes to a point where it's like you can be like the Rudy of it, where people are just like fired up to see you in the game, or you can actually make a better impact and make an improvement towards the game. And
for sure,
that's why I want to see. I want to see him get better as a passer. And I think he can, but if he doesn't, I think that we need another. And we have that
7% in passing percentage this year, though.
Several QBs coming in, I think, right?
Yeah.
Still better. Yeah, we do. Yeah. We have two. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Does Sean get the talk bell?
Yes.
What do you want me to say?
Well, I thought you wanted to chime in.
I was just making a quip about, Casey Pierce being the best quarterback in TCU history. I'm just saying. I mean, we can throw Max Mackey into that ring as well. And
don't know. Have you ever seen Coach Pete throw the football into the stands?
So you got two quarterbacks coming in next year, right?
Yeah.
So I would hope that it's a open competition again. I mean, I think every year. You got a quarterback that you said that was leading the rivals, whatever. I mean, when they were doing that, I mean, well, sheesh, I think, you know, you better give him a chance. I mean, I hear people talking about him moving to tight end or another position. Why would he move to another position if he's sitting there with the top quarterbacks in the country and he's one of the best at it? Why? I don't even know why we're even thinking about moving him to another position. He's 6'5" and runs a 4.7 and got a cannon arm. I mean, that just don't make much sense to me. Let's at least give him a chance.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, I want to be a Saban type coach. I hope Patterson is. I mean, he won't be, but he benched a 22 win guy, the 2 loss guy, for a freshman to win a national championship. And did he want to? No, but did he think that was the best thing for his team? I just want it to be an open competition. I agree with both of what you're saying is. The only thing I do disagree with a little bit, Eddie Dalton was in a pro-style offense.
For sure.
This is a running gun, wide open offense now that we're in. And so the stats should be skewed a little bit more, bigger numbers toward Max just because of the opportunities of the offense in which he plays in. Now, right. I agree with you that, hey.
His rushing numbers are much better, though.
I hope he improves and gets better and better, because I think every year, every player needs to get better. And if he does get better, then we're going to be okay. But I hope one of the things we're developing at TCU is have the problem of having 2 or 3 quarterbacks. You know, right now we don't have that problem. We don't even really have the problem. But down the road, I hope that you're thinking, well, we got 2 or 3 in the stable, you know, that can play, period. And if one's not playing, then, you know, we got to go and put somebody else in there.
Well, I think we do, like, every year we always seem to come in with, like, 3 or 4 quarterbacks. And then once it's kind of like, I don't know if it's this generation or what, like, as soon as someone gets named a starter and the other ones aren't playing, they want to transfer. And that's where it's like, I want them to be able to, like, you know what? Hey, I'm getting beat. I'm going to fight for this position. If he's doing better than me, I need to get better at whatever he's doing. And I need to improve my game all around, rather than just saying, oh, he's starter, I can't do anything. And it's more of like it should be to the point where competition makes everybody better rather than other people making people want to leave. Yeah. That's what sucks.
But okay, so you look at all the big programs. Look at who benefited from Georgia's competition more than anybody? Ohio State.
Yeah.
Who benefited from Alabama? Freaking Oklahoma. I mean, you know, that's where if you got two, the sad thing is you got 2 or 3 top quarterbacks too, and you don't play one of them, the other ones, I mean, the one stop playing is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
how many quarterbacks do we have now?
Not many. We have three.
Dugan and Downing, right?
Yeah, Dugan, Downing, Stephon Brown, who's never actually gotten to play. He was the number one JUCO QB last year. And it's still yet to play. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we had like 5 at the beginning of the year. And yeah, it's a whole other issue with the whole transfer stuff.
Well, you were talking about wanting changes in the offseason. I tell you, one thing I would love to see now that he is in the Metroplex, and we've already mentioned his name several times on the podcast, is if he doesn't go back to the Cowboys next season, I'd love to see Andy Dalton come here and coach up the quarterbacks. That would be amazing.
So. We would love that. Andy, if you're listening,
he throws a good ball. I'll mention it. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He came to one of our practices, I want to say 2015, and he was like throwing to us.
Aw, that's neat.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Well, hopefully we can do that again in the future. So
just as a coach and permanently.
Yeah, just why not? Why not? That'd be a positive change right now, right?
Yeah.
Then if we find a special teams coach, coach him not to try to catch the ball in the corner on kickoffs. Anyway,
hire WC, he'll do it.
Yeah. So let's.
Thanks. Oh my gosh.
Deborah doesn't want to. Deborah does not want to coach, apparently. Well, talking about future changes, let's talk about predictions for this Saturday. And Louisiana Tech comes in. It's a 6 o'clock game. I have that right.
Yeah.
6 p.m. So, second night game. I mean, first night game of the season. We did pretty well, so hopefully, you know, here's hoping the second time is a charm as well. So Louisiana Tech comes in, and I agree with Hunter. This is a game that we should win. That's not usually how these things go. So let's talk predictions. And, Ryan, what do you want to do as far as a tiebreaker for this game?
I think, WC, are you raising your hand?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. It's hard to see your hands out of frame. It's like an arm.
Can anybody even tell me, what's the record, Louisiana Tech?
5-3.
Okay, who?
Yeah. Second in their division or conference or whatever.
Well, you're asking Marshall, a lot of me right here.
Who have they played? So BYU, Marshall.
They've lost to BYU, Marshall, UTSA, and they had like 4 games skipped. They beat UNT. They beat UAB. They beat UTEP, shout out. They beat Southern Miss, and they beat Houston Baptist. Okay. All those games were close, except for Houston Baptist, where they beat pretty bad.
Okay, I just had to, you know, we got predictions here. I gotta get a framework of how. You know,
you're supposed to do your own research.
You got to do this research beforehand.
They scored 14 on BYU, so.
Yeah.
They did. Wow.
Yeah,
14.
How early in the season was that game, Hunter?
Fourth game. The fourth game, or it was, fourth week, and 45 was scored on them. They're giving up 31 points a game and scoring like 33 points a game. It's not
great. They a running team or passing? Like, what are they?
Bit of a mix. Honestly, yeah, they're passing and running, but they don't have very many yards per game. Like, their offensive stats aren't great. They're kind of a hit or miss, they're going to score the big player, not at all.
Which is our Achilles heel.
Yeah.
True. Okay. But they're not as good as who we play.
Yeah.
Okay, true. So I'm ready to go.
All right, Ryan, go ahead and kick
us off. What's our tiebreaker?
Oh.
Yeah.
Can we do turnovers since we had like 9 last week, it seemed like?
Well, we did that. You know what? We could do that because last time we did turnovers, the next week we didn't. I don't think we had any.
I know. So, I'm good with that.
Jinx. I think we're good. We can do that.
Okay. All right, turnovers. Just to clarify, how many turnovers TCU will have?
How many turnovers we give away.
Oh, yeah. You want to say how many fumbles or interceptions?
Yeah.
Max has. Okay. All right. Ryan, kick us off.
Okay. So I'm going big. Like you said, it is an evening game. It is the last game of the season. We just came off a couple good wins, but an amazing win last week. So I'm going to go 55.
Whoa.
21.
And turnovers?
Oh, yeah.
TCU turnovers.
One. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need
all
to be
right. Right. Hunter, how about you?
Ooh, okay. So I'm pretty close to Ryan there. I think TCU is going to score a lot this week. I think it's going to be 49-14 TCU, and they have one turnover.
One turnover.
Yes.
All right. Nathan?
40-10 TCU. I was also going to say one turnover. But
I mean, we all have far enough away scores that it – you know, we're not going to tie break. You know, we're not
tied. That's fair. Yeah, I'll go one turnover.
All right. Dubber, did Hunter take your score this week?
No, he did. I'm going to go with they're going to score 17, and we're going to score 45. We could score more, but Patterson's going to get up, and then he's going to start running the ball and killing the clock like he does. And so we'll be 45-17, and we are going to have absolutely zero turnovers.
Oh, okay.
Bold move, Cotton.
Yeah. All right, John. All right,
that'll be good. So I'm going to go 42-3.
I like it.
Okay.
And 3 points come at the end.
Garbage time.
I'll also say one turnover.
So you want to hear something funny? So after the game, we went to the woodshed, and what's his name was there? Meacham. Yeah, Meacham was there. And so we went over and got him for a picture, but it was so darn funny because he came over and he said hi. He was really nice, which and he said hi to the table, and he said, "So Joel, we were like yelling and clapping when he walked over, and he goes, hey, y'all win some money on that game?" And it was just so funny because, you know, Patterson, he always, like, even if at the very end, you know, he won't score the touchdown, or he won't kick the field goal or whatever, just even if, you know, obviously he doesn't care about betting. But I can't remember what else he said, but it was something so funny about Patterson not ever helping us out with betting. Not that I've ever bet on a football game in my life, but it was just, you just don't hear coaches really ever say okay. stuff like that. And it was really
funny. I love Rose
over there.
Really funny, yep.
Everything is funny.
But anyway, yeah, it was good to see him out. Okay, so I got all the scores written down. We'll start that all tonight.
Right. Excellent. Well, I guess with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. Of course, go to killerfrogs.com, and you can sign up for a free account. Go to the forums, and you can participate in that score prediction thread with the rest of us and have a chance to win fabulous prizes. And thank everybody out there who's listening to us on the podcast. The Killer Frogs podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts these days. And of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the major social media. Join us Saturday if you're not able to get out to the game. And again, there are tickets still available. And of course, you can check out the ticket exchange on the forum if you are in need of tickets. There were several tickets that popped up at the very last second last week for Oklahoma State. So for this week, if you are still looking, that's definitely a good place to go ahead and find it. If you're unable to do that, join us in the game day thread where I'll be doing play-by-play, and we'll see how things go. And hopefully this will be another good weekend, and this team will have a nice step forward for a bowl game in the future. So with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get the frogs up, and we get to say...
Go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
All right.
Hey, you just tried to start fights left and right today.
100%. I gotta get a little riled up for Christmas.
I like that. We need some controversy in our podcast.